Good morning, Kairos. We're doing good. We're awake. We're ready. Man, I'm excited to be here today. It's a beautiful day to worship the Lord, to be in His presence, and to be surrounded by our church family. That last prayer he was talking about, if you weren't here last week, I broke glass, and it was fun and powerful. I won't break anything. Maybe. I don't know. I don't plan on breaking anything today. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Who knows? Today, we're kind of coming to the close of summer, right? Summer is officially over. Teachers are going back tomorrow. Teachers, where are you at? Any teachers in here? Awesome. So pray for him. And they've already been back. They've been getting ready, and I know we've been praying for our teachers, praying for our students. Continue to do so as they get ready to take their kids to school tomorrow. Pray for our homeschool parents and all the things that they're doing as well for their students, for their kids. So if summer's over, then that means our summer in the Psalms is coming to an end. It's for me, I've really enjoyed our time in the Psalms, and while it is coming to an end, then we're going to go out praising. So you guys ready to praise today, praise His name? Because all of this, we've gone through, if you're just joining us for the first time, if you've only been a couple of times, we've spent 5 weeks looking at the five books that have the overarching 150 Psalms in them, and we've talked about the themes that are there, and we talked about how it's all about relationship with God and the difficulty and the affliction and those moments and times where we're tempted to turn back away from relationship in God. But all of it was leading us to remember who God is, how much He loves us, just His sovereignty over all things, and ultimately leading us to praise no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what season, no matter what's going on, as long as we're continuing to focus on Him, we can praise His name. So we're going to praise today. Book 5, closing this whole thing out. Book 5 of the Psalms is the biggest of the books. It has the most chapters in it. This is Psalms 107 through 150. And within this psalm are some really cool things. It has the longest chapter in the Bible, also the longest psalm. It has the shortest chapter in the Bible. And the book of Psalms is the center of the Bible. And so, like I've already said, where book one kind of begins this relationship and works us through all of that, and maybe books one all the way through 3 and 4 a little bit have lament, in book 5, it's all about praise and ending in praise. I went through and I was just looking at some of the words and the repeated words. And the repeated words in book 5, you're going to find the word psalm, praise is repeated 71 times throughout book 5 of the Psalms. And then you have the words hallelujah, praise the Lord, and praise Him are said and written 50 times. Hallelujah, yeah. And so this word hallelujah, it actually comes from the Hebrew word hallel. Turn to your friend next to you and say hallel. And hallel, which is the first half of hallelujah, simply means to praise. And so we get to praise. But then we know the phrase. We don't go around saying hallel, hallel, right? We don't do that. We say the phrase hallelujah. And you'll see within hallelujah, we have hallel, which means to praise. And then we get Yah, and if we went through the whole Names of God series, and you get to Yahweh, and Yah is short for Yahweh, and so hallelujah means praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So there's just a little bit of fun little background there. I love looking at that stuff. I love the words and the meanings of the words and the power behind the words and what they mean. And so hallelujah. Within the fifth book of Psalms, there are several groups of what is called hallelujah psalms. 104 to 106, 118 to 111 to 118, 135. I'm not going to share today is a powerful hallelujah psalm, and then the last five psalms, 146 through 150, which we're going to talk about today, are these hallelujah psalms. And then in the middle of this thing, Psalms 113 through 118 is something called the Egyptian hallel. And the Egyptian Hallel, it was sung at the Feast of Passover and Pentecost and the Tabernacles and at moments of dedication. In one commentary, Jesus and the disciples, it said that they probably sang a portion of the Egyptian Hallel, basically singing praises over what God did for them, rescuing them from Egypt and the Passover and everything. And so Jesus and the disciples, during the Passover, during the supper, they sang portions of these songs. And so this psalm, this book, is so important. It's so integral. And again, it all culminates in praise. And so praise, hallel, hallelujah. This is a major theme of book five. You see it a lot. You see it all over. 71 times you see praise. 50 times you see hallelujah or praise the Lord. And while that is a very significant portion of book five, there was another repeated phrase that I saw again and again and again in a majority of the 40 plus chapters that were in book five. And that repeated phrase was faithful love. His faithful love, or your faithful love. And that was seen 56 times. And typically when it says your faithful love, it is ended with endures forever. And it's this powerful reminder. So I want to spend some time looking at that today, his faithful love, how it endures forever, and why that should lead us to praise all the time. Now, it's really cool. So we've been talking about how the Psalms is broken into sections, and there's these books. And typically from book to book, there's a theme, there's a connecting point that connects one to the other. Well, Psalm 106 connects to Psalm 107. And I want to show you this, the connection here. Psalm 106, verse 1 says, hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And then it goes through and it shares the psalm. And then we get into the next book, which is Psalm 107. And guess what? It says the same thing. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And so this repetition, again, it's signifying this move from the lament, and focusing on the all the pain, the heartache, the trials, and shifting us into praise. And so this is what we're called to do. We're called to look at his faithful love that endures forever, and we're called to praise him. And it can be hard sometimes. And we've been talking about the affliction and the trouble and the torment and the pain and the difficulty that is in relationship, that's in the world around us, that's in our circumstances. And sometimes we're probably left questioning, well, how is his love faithful? Even if we read through the Bible, how is his love faithful to the Israelites when they were repeatedly oppressed, when they were afflicted? So often, when they were defeated, time and time again, you read through the Old Testament, and that's what you see. And you say, how is his love faithful? How can it be faithful when these things are happening? And then we come to ourselves. How does his love endure forever when it seems that we are forever riddled with heartache and pain, regret and shame, temptation and sin? Well, here's the cool thing about book five. And majority of scriptures, but really what I want to kind of point to is this. In book five, it is a prophetic book as well. And so how do we know his love is faithful? Well, in book five, it proclaims the rising up of a savior whose love will come, defeat sin and death, and who will reign forever on earth and in heaven. And so this faithful love comes and it reigns forever. I'm going to show you that briefly in Psalm 148 when we get there. But this is where we get to singing praises and hallelujah of who God is. Now, getting back to the faithful love enduring forever. There's a lot of scripture. I'm going to be going through a lot of scripture. Probably not reading it all, kind of highlighting some certain things, but really focusing on how his love endures forever. And so chapters 107 all the way through 119 highlight these attributes of how God's love is faithful love endures forever. And I told you that book five has some fun facts in it. Well, here are the fun facts. Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible, and it's also the shortest psalm. Then you get to Psalm 118, and all these things happen right in succession with one another. Psalm 118 becomes the middle of the Bible, and if you want the exact middle of the Bible, it's Psalm 118:8. And then, of course, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. Let me read to you Psalm 117 and 118, and then we're going to examine a little bit Psalm 119. We don't have time to unpack the longest chapter in the Bible today, but I do want to show you a little bit of it. So Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2, It says, praise the Lord, all the nations. Glorify him, all peoples. For his faithful love, there you see it again, to us is great. And the Lord's faithfulness endures forever. And so you see it, right? His faithful love endures forever. Hallelujah. And then you get to Psalm 118. And this is a really cool connecting point as well. In Psalm 118, if you remember, we went back to 106 and 107. 118 repeats 107. You can put 118 up there, and it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his faithful love endures forever. And so you see this, it's just repeated over and over and over again. It's a powerful thing. Now, Psalm 119. An amazing chapter in the Bible. There's so much here. There's so many cool little nerdy Bible facts. Who likes nerdy Bible facts? I love nerdy Bible facts. And so if you don't, sorry, you just have to bear with me today. Go watch someone else later on YouTube or something. Okay, and so you can do that. So Psalm 119, here's what's really cool. Psalm 119 is compiled into 22 sections of 8 verses. And then each section begins with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever gone through and read Psalm 119, and then like there's these words, and you're like, why is that there? What is going on? What does that mean? That's the Hebrew letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and it goes through all 22 of them within Psalm. So just kind of cool, connecting Psalm 119 to the Hebrew Bible and to the Hebrew alphabet. Another really, really cool fact, the one that I geek out about, is that this psalm is really about glorifying God and his word. It refers to scripture over and over and over again, the written revelation, his word, in just about every single verse. Now, in the psalm, there are 8 basic words that are used to describe the scriptures and God's written revelation to us. And I want to give those to you because I think it's really, really important. Within Psalm 19, as you read through it, and again, we're not going to read all of it today, you'll see these words used. And you can see that there's a lot of them. So the law or Torah is used 25 times. And that just means to teach or direct if you're wanting to know like the background of these words. And then there's the word. And you probably see that capitalized. This is the phrase dabar that's used 24 times. And this is God's revealed word to man. And then we get the judgments. This word is mispatim, and this is used 23 times. And you can figure this one out on your own. It's to judge, determine, order, or discern. Then we get the word testimonies. We kind of understand what this testimony would mean. It's the Hebrew word idat, and it's used 23 times. And this word relates to just a witness or giving a testimony to something or someone, ultimately to who God is. Then we get the commandments. The miswa is used 22 times, emphasizes the right and authority to give orders. Then there's another word, which is statutes, which is hugim. And that's a funny word to me. I don't know. I look at that and I go, hugim. It sounds fun. Whereas statutes, you're like, I don't know if I like statutes. Well, just think about hug him, okay? And you get to hug him. Okay, I just made that up, and you can keep that one, okay? So hug him. Use 21 times. And when you think about statutes, it's just the written and authoritative word of God, declaring his authority and his power of giving us laws. And then we have his precepts. Another fun one, I don't even know how to say this one. Piquidem, I don't know, that one's fun. If you want to learn how to say that, you can go on YouTube and figure that out. Okay. To look closely into situation and take action. And then we see the word again. You're like, why do you put word on here twice? Because in the Hebrew, it's 2 separate words. And so you have dabar, right? Which dabar is God's revealed word to man. And then we have imra, which is used 19 times, is God's spoken, commanded, or promised word. And so right at the heart, this is what I love about this, right at the heart of the Bible, right in the middle of the Bible, is a psalm of praise about the power of his word, reminding us how important his word is, reminding us of his faithful love that endures forever due to the love that was shown to us by his son on the cross. I just think it's such a cool connection. You go right to the center of the Bible, guess what it's gonna point you to? God's word, the power of God's word, living in God's word, remembering God's word, meditating on God's word. I wanna give you just 8 verses. 8 verses from Psalm 119. These 8 verses, you're gonna see the phrase, a faithful love. And then you're going to also see some of the words used for God's word within them. So Psalm 41, 119, 41, it says, "Let your faithful love come to me, your salvation, as you promised." Verse 64 says, "Lord, the earth is filled with your faithful love. Teach me your statutes." Verse 76 says, "May your love, faithful love, excuse me, comfort me as you promised your servant." And where do we find God's promises? Come on, you can figure it. Yeah, come on, say it with like a little bit of gusto. Where do we find God's promises? In his word. You guys can, I want everyone now. Where do we find God's promises? Woo, there we go. We figured it out. Man, Psalm 119. Okay, so I want you to see the connection because you'll see statutes, but as you promised, and if we want to know where God's promises are, we find them in his word. And then verse 88 says, "Give me life in accordance with your faithful love, and I will obey the decree that you have spoken." Verse 124 says, "Deal with your servant based on your faithful love and teach me your statutes." Verse 149 says, "In keeping with your faithful love, hear my voice." Verse 159 says, "Consider how I love your precepts. Lord, give me life according to your faithful love." And then verse 160 says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and all your righteous judgments endure forever." Psalm 119 overwhelmingly tells us and reminds us that knowledge of God's faithfulness and foreverness is found in his promises, in his word, in his decree, in his judgments, in its statutes. If you want to experience salvation, if you want to be blessed with provision, if you want to be dealt with justly and fairly, if you desire to be heard and to be comforted, if you want to experience true life, it comes from meditating on, dwelling on, acting on, and praising his word, who he is, what he wrote. And as we meditate on the word, right, we learn it, and not just learn it, because knowledge is one thing, but as we learn it and live it, guess what we get? We get to experience his faithful love again and again and again and again, all the days of our life here on earth and for all of eternity, because his faithful love endures forever. So Psalm 119 gives us that. And I mean, you could take that and be like, man, that's awesome, that's amazing. I'm so like impacted by how much his faithful love endures, but it keeps going. And then you move to Psalm 136. And in Psalm 136, it showcases how God's faithful love endures forever. And that phrase, his love endures forever, his faithful love endures forever, it shows up 26 times in this psalm alone. So Psalm 136, I want to give you just a quick example. This is just the first three verses. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever." And through all 26 verses that share something about God, and then they repeat, his faithful love endures forever. And so it's repeated after all of them. And it's like, okay, give thanks to the Lord. Why do we give thanks to the Lord? Because his faithful love endures forever. God does great wonders. Why does he do that? Because his faithful love endures forever. God remembered us and rescued us. Why? Because his faithful love, it endures forever. I want to give you kind of this overarching view, and I would encourage you, go read through Psalm 136 and you can see all this play out. But this tells us why his faithful love endures forever. And there's four, I broke it down into four different things. Verse one tells us that his faithful love endures forever because of his goodness. It just simply says he is good. His faithful love endures forever. He is a God who is good, who does good. He is the epitome of goodness, and that's why his faithful love endures forever. Verse 2 and 3 tells us that his faithful love endures forever because of his sovereignty. We've talked about his sovereignty multiple times throughout this, and what does that mean? He is the God of all other gods, that he is the king of all other kings, that he is the Lord of all lords. He is sovereign over all. His faithful love endures forever because of that. Verse 4 through 9 tells us that his faithful love endures forever because of his creation. He made all things, and not only did he make all things, but he keeps all things, and he sustains all things. Why? Because his faithful love endures forever. And then verses 10 through 25, we get kind of an outline of his rescue and redemption and provision of the Israelites. And so his faithful love endures forever because of those things. Rescue, redemption, and provision. Not only of the Israelites, but we know, after because we get to read the whole thing, that also means that there's rescue, redemption, and provision for you and I. And so this means that God's goodness, God's sovereignty, God's creation, his rescue, redemption, and provision, those things have no limit. They have no end. They endure forever. His loving faithfulness for you, for your family, will never run out. And that is a powerful, powerful promise. And in verse 26, it ends. And it just simply says, give thanks to the God of heaven. Why do we do that? Because his faithful love endures forever. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you're experiencing, regardless of what's going on in our world, his faithful love endures forever. Now, in chapter 138 through 145, guess what keeps happening? We're continually reminded of what? His faithful love. It just keeps going. And I'm not gonna give you all of it. Again, this is such a big book and there's so much here to unpack. I wanna encourage you, man, go read these things. But I wanna read through these verses and I hope that you can, man, take a picture of it, write one down and be encouraged by it. Psalm 138:8, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Lord, your faithful love endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Psalm 143:8, let me experience your faithful love in the morning, for I trust you. Reveal to me the way I should go. Psalm 143:11-12, in your righteousness, deliver me from trouble, and in your faithful love, destroy my enemies. Psalm 144:1-2, may the Lord, my rock, be praised. He is my faithful love. He is my fortress. He is my stronghold and my deliverer. Psalm 145:8-9, the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger and he is great in faithful love. The Lord is good to everyone and his compassion rests on all that he has made. So powerful, so uplifting, so encouraging. I mean, this is why we go to Psalms often, because when we go to them, we're reminded of his promises. We're reminded of who he is and what he's done. I mean, if you take anything from this, I would say, hey, if you're looking to be encouraged, if you're looking to find praise in the midst of the storm or in the midst of brokenness, man, go into book 5 and read of his faithful love, of what he'll do for you. Go to Psalm 136, go to Psalm 119, and be reminded of just who he is and how powerful he is. Now, this brings us to the close. This is where I wanted to get to. Because this is a powerful reminder. So at the end of book 5 and the end of the Psalms, we find 5 songs of praise, or Hallel, if you want to say. 5 songs of Hallel. It's in 146 all the way through 150. Psalm 146, this is a Hallel, guess what? Of his faithful love. It's what we've been talking about for the last 45 chapters. And so it's a song of his faithful love. And in verse 6 of 146, it says his love remains forever faithful to us. And he remains forever faithful. And then it goes on in 146 saying that he frees the prisoners. He opens the eyes of the blind. He raises up the oppressed. He loves the righteousness. He protects the foreigner. And it ends with, he reigns forever. And if he reigns forever, he will continue to do these things. So there's this praise of his faithful love. And then in Psalm 147, it's a Hallel of his restoration and redemption. In verse 6, it says that the Lord rebuilds Jerusalem. And you gotta know the story and all of this, but this is after the exile, this is after they were destroyed and they were brought back and he rebuilds Jerusalem. And this is not just about rebuilding a city, it's about rebuilding a people. And then 2 verses later, it says that he heals the brokenhearted. It's a song of praise for his restoration and redemption. And then in Psalm 148, there's this Hallel of his creation. And within this, we've talked about just about this whole way through the power of his creation and what it means to us and that we are his creation. And man, just in that alone, remembering his creation is so, so important. I'm gonna have Robbie and the band kind of make their way up to get ready to play behind me. And so in this Hallel of his creation, you'll see within Psalm 148 that man, everything praises him. In the heavens, in the heights, the armies of angels, the earth praises him, the sea praises him. It even says the sea monsters praise him. The elements, the earth, the wind, all of it, the mountains, the hills, the trees, the animals, the critters, the kings, the princes, the young, the old, all creation praises his name. And that's what we're called to do. We are a part of that. Now, I told you earlier that there's this prophetic promise of our Savior. And this prophetic promise is found in Psalm 148, verse 14. It says, verse 14 and 13, it says, let them praise the name of Yahweh, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty covers heaven and earth. In verse 14, this is it. He has raised up a horn for his people, resulting in praise to all his godly ones, to the Israelites, to the people close to him. Hallelujah. And you can read through verse 14 and be like, what's the horn? What does that mean? What does that mean to me? Why would I praise God for raising up a horn? Is this an animal? Is this a goat's horn? What is happening? And you get to this reference, and what this horn represents is Christ, that there is salvation that he is raising up. And because we're praising creation, what you need to understand is that Christ was with God in creation. You go to the Gospel of John, book 1, it says that everything that was made at the beginning was made through him and by him and for him, talking about Christ. And not only was he at creation, but one day he will come. And this is the promise. It's a prophetic promise to the Israelites. He's already come for us, but for the Israelites, one day he would come in this horn would be raised up on a cross, right? Paying the penalty for our sin, taking upon himself the sins of the world. He will be raised up for the sins of the world, and he'll die. But the promise comes 3 days later when he's raised up again, right? This horn is raised up in the resurrection, and what did he do? He defeated both sin and death. And so you read through Psalm 148, And you see this horn that's being raised up, and you go, this is why we praise. This is our salvation. This is our victory. And that's where we get to Psalm 149. It's this hallel of victory. And it simply says, let the godly celebrate in triumphal glory. And we may be going through difficulties now, but at the end, God wins. Jesus is victorious. And that's what we hold on to, and that's what we continue to praise. Now, we get to Psalm 150. I'm calling it the final hallel, the final praise. I'm gonna ask that you would stand with me. I wanna read this and just say a few things, and then we're gonna close out our time. Psalm 150 says, hallelujah, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his powerful acts, praise him for his abundant greatness. Praise him with trumpet blast. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with flute and strings. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. And so this says, praise him where you're at, because he is everywhere, and so you can praise him. Praise him in his sanctuary, praise him in the heaven. Praise him for where he's at and where you are. Praise him for all that he has done. Praise him with these very distinct instruments that we've given you. And you're like, Pastor Brent, I don't got any of that stuff. I like, it's saying to do this, and I can't. How am I supposed to follow God's word? I don't got a trumpet. I don't got a lyre or a harp, nor if I had one, would you want me to play said instrument, right? So we're called to praise these things, and I don't, guess what? Me either, okay? We can't all be as talented as these people behind us, you don't got a harp, do you? No harp, no, you know? So anyway, so we don't have these things. But here's the deal. We don't get caught up in what we're told to praise him with, but instead it's the intention and focus of their praise. So I look at trumpet and I see, man, we praise him with bursts of joy, right? I look at harp and lyre, and all I think about is we praise him with sweet, sweet melodies. I think about the dancing and the tambourine, and I say, that says, hey, you praise him in movement, in motion, right? I don't know if you've ever seen anyone with a tambourine. They're going to town with that thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, we should give everyone a tambourine. And okay, see, someone's excited about it. And so we praise him with movement, and then with the flute and the strings, and you praise him with your mouth, and you praise him with your hands. And then there's these resounding cymbals. right? And what I think about this is that our echoes, like we're, the echo praises for him again and again and again. They should reverberate in our heart and mind. They should reverberate in our home. They should reverberate to our neighborhood. They should reverberate in our workplace. It is a resounding praise of God. And then the last one, the clashing cymbals. Raise your hand if you like clashing cymbals, not the drummer. Clashing cymbals, anyone? You're like, I love it when it gets really loud and it hurts my ear. I love this one, and here's what it says. Praise God loudly and passionately, regardless of what other people think. We're called to praise him with all that we are. Let's read the final verse of Psalm 150 together. Put that up there on the screen for me. Here you go. Ready? Let's read it together. The next one. Ready? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.